Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And tonight we want to see how Daniel behaved himself both before men and also before the Lord. Daniel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather together around your word and to consider the life of Daniel. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us from this passage. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the way Daniel conducted himself in a pagan society, and yet he maintained a testimony for thee. Lord, help us to learn from his life and apply it to us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We see in Daniel chapter 2 that Daniel brings his petition before the Lord. Now, earlier in the chapter, we noted that a decree went out from the king, an irrational decree went out from the king. He was so angry that his wise men, he was now starting to discover that his wise men weren't so wise after all, and that they had been hoodwinking him all this time, claiming to have access to the gods, which they didn't. And now Daniel is one of the men, one of the wise men on the king's board who is under this death sentence. The decree sent out to have all the wise men, including Daniel and his friends, slain. And not just slain, but cut into pieces to terrorize the nation. And we see in verse 13 that this man Arioch was the king's servant, and he was the one who was sent out to Daniel and his friends, and he came to have them taken away to be executed. And then Daniel, in verses 17 and 18, last time we saw that Daniel brought this matter to his friends, and they decided to have a prayer meeting and to bring this matter to the Lord. And a good lesson for us in this: whenever there is an executioner knocking on your doorstep, ready to cut you into little pieces, that's a good time to hold a prayer meeting. And that's what Daniel did here. But you know, we don't have to wait for something that is, our life is hanging in the balance, to pray. In fact, the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. We're to have a spirit or an attitude of praying all day long, in all situations. And so prayer is not only for the crises of life, it is for everyday life. And you know, as we go through the book of Daniel, we're going to learn a lot about prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a staunch prayer warrior. And we can learn much about the kind of prayer that really pleases the Lord from Daniel's life. He was willing to pray even when his life depended upon it. Even though he was forbidden to pray to anybody except the king, he defied that order. That was contrary to God's word, and he prayed. Now we see Daniel praying again. Daniel brought the matter in verses 17 and 18. He brought it to the Lord. And then notice in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Now I love the understatement here. Just put yourself in the shoes of Daniel. The executioner had come to his door to carry him away to be cut into pieces, him and his friends and all of his colleagues on this board of wise men. And so Daniel said to the king, just give me a little time. And he was going to take it to the Lord, and he did. He took it to the Lord in prayer. He poured out his heart's burden before the Lord. What he needed was the revelation of this dream, or else he was a dead man. So Daniel, in verse 18, took this burden of his heart to the Lord. Then was the secret revealed. Daniel prayed, then God answered. Daniel's life was hanging in the balance if he didn't get the revelation from the Lord as to what this king dreamed and what it meant. Then the Lord answered his prayer. And the thing was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And I take that to mean that very night. Now let's look at Daniel's response. Daniel prayed, then the Lord answered. And so we see at the end of, in the middle of verse 19, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So here is the order. Daniel prayed, then God answered, then Daniel praised the Lord. And Daniel blessed the name of the Lord. And bless means to kneel down, to bless, to praise, to extol. And Daniel understood the significance of God's name, which spoke of his person. It spoke of his reputation, his fame. And so here, Daniel is blessing the name of the Lord. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Now, Daniel understood the importance of God's name. Daniel was living in a strange country. Daniel was living in a pagan land surrounded by pagan idols and deities everywhere he looked in the city of Babylon. And so here was Daniel as one of the very few representatives of the true and living God on the king's court. And Daniel was concerned about God's name. Daniel was concerned about God's reputation in that foreign land. And Daniel didn't want anybody there, especially the king, to think that his God was just one of many. That his God was just one in the Babylonian pantheon of many deities. And so Daniel saw it as his duty to promote the name of Jehovah God in that foreign land. And you know, in a sense, we too are strangers in a strange land. And we too are God's representatives, God's witnesses, and we are to represent the true and living God in our country and in our nation, surrounded by all kinds of pagan, wrong, anti-Christian thoughts. It's all around us, and we have been chosen to be God's representatives. So when God answered Daniel's prayer, the first thing that Daniel did was to bless the name of the Lord. And now Daniel gives us, beginning in verse 20, Daniel gives us six reasons why he blessed the Lord. And the first six reasons has to do with who God is. And so Daniel knew to praise the Lord first and foremost for who God is. And look at how he describes the Lord beginning in verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." So Daniel is praising the Lord here for this answered prayer, and he's praising the Lord because God is a God of wisdom and might. Wisdom and might belong unto the Lord. God is wise. God knows all things. And God knew what that king dreamt that night. And God also knew what that dream meant. Now, dreams today have no prophetic meaning, but they did in the Old Testament times. There was, in those days, in Bible days, and even in the early days of the New Testament, God was still revealing truth. And one of the means that God chose to reveal truth was through dreams or night visions. Now, revelation has ceased. So dreams have no meaning today, but they did in Daniel's day. And so Daniel is praising God for his wisdom because God knows the minds and hearts of men, and God knew what that king dreamt, and Daniel's life depended upon whether Daniel was able to tell the king what that dream was. And notice also in verse 21, and here's the next reason why Daniel is blessing God. Because of who God is. He's praising the Lord because of the kind of God that we have. And so what is God like in this next portion, this next section of his praise? Verse 21, and he changes the times and the seasons. That's why Daniel was praising and blessing the name of the Lord, because he's the God who changes the times and seasons. Now, times and seasons here has nothing to do with the clock or the calendar. It has to do with the seasons and the epochs of human history. In other words, God is sovereign over all the ages of history, over all the times of man, and over all the seasons of world history. And God can change a season when He's good and ready. And when that time, and when that season of human history, when that dispensational dealing of God has served its purpose, when God is good and ready, He changes the season. He changes those epochs and eras, and He begins a new age. And so Daniel is praising the Lord because He's the God who is sovereign over all the times of men. In fact, the book of Daniel is, in one sense, a revelation of the times of the Gentiles. The book of Daniel is all about this revelation that we're going to be looking at next week, Lord willing, where God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar a dream that was a broad panorama of Gentile world history from the days of Daniel, when the Babylonian Empire came to power, unto the second coming of Christ. What the Lord Jesus refers to as the times of the Gentiles. And God is over all that. God is in charge of all of those times. So Daniel praises Him for who He is. And notice also in verse 21, "And He setteth up kings." It says, "He removeth kings, and He setteth up kings." So here, Daniel is praising the Lord. He just answered his prayer. God just answered Daniel's prayer. And now Daniel is praising the name of the Lord. And one of the reasons is because God is sovereign over all the seasons of mankind, and God is sovereign over the nations. And God is the one who takes one king and removes him and raises up another. And we discover in Daniel chapter 4 that God raises up of men the basest of men and puts them in positions of royal authority. So Daniel is praising the Lord here because He is sovereign over all the nations and over all the rulers. He's not like the gods of Babylon. God is active. God is alive. God is sovereign. He raises up one king and He removes another. And He uses them all for His purposes. So it doesn't matter whether it's George Washington or Colonel Gaddafi. God is sovereign. God is the one who raises up one Gentile ruler and He removes another. And He does it all to serve His own purpose. God has a plan and a program for the ages. And God is sovereign over all these political leaders. And He is on the throne. So even though things look pretty dicey for Daniel and his friends, the executioners were coming to carry them away, to have them cut into little pieces to terrorize the land. And yet now Daniel is able to praise the Lord. He's over all that. He's in charge of the king. He's in charge of the king who just let out that irrational decree. And so Daniel is about to reveal to King Nebuchadnezzar the fact that God knows world history. And there's a reason why God knows world history. That's what the dream was all about. So Daniel is about to reveal to King Nebuchadnezzar this dream that is really a panoramic picture of world history for the next many generations. And the reason that God is able to know world history is because He planned it all. He's sovereign over all the nations. He raises up one leader and He puts down another. And so put yourself in the shoes of King Nebuchadnezzar for a few moments. He's going to hear some things that are radically different than anything he's ever heard before. He's accustomed to Babylonian fatalism. He's accustomed to hearing one nation came to power because their idol was stronger. Their battle took place in the valley, and they must have a god of the valley because the other army was defeated. And that's the way they thought in those days. But now Daniel is going to tell him that there's only one God. And the true and living God doesn't behave that way. The true and living God is in control of all that takes place in the nations, among the nations. And God is sovereign over putting one king in power and removing him and changing the seasons when God is good and ready. This must have been shocking to Nebuchadnezzar. Until, of course, we're going to get ahead of ourselves a bit. Turn down to verse 37. As part of the interpretation of the dream, Daniel was going to tell King Nebuchadnezzar how this related to him personally. And look in verse 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven, that's Daniel's God, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and he hath made thee ruler over them all. So Daniel is about to tell King Nebuchadnezzar that the reason that he has this power and honor and glory and strength is because Daniel's God gave it to him. And Daniel's God is in charge. And Daniel's God gave King Nebuchadnezzar authority over all the nations and made him a king of kings. And that Daniel's God can remove him anytime he wants. He's a God overall. He is the Most High God. Now turn back again to verse 21. The next reason Daniel is praising the Lord in verse 21 is that he gives wisdom and knowledge. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. This is what God is like. This is part of God's character. This is who God is, and this is why Daniel is praising God, because of who he is. He's the kind of God who was more than happy to give wisdom to wise men and to give knowledge to men of understanding. Now you might ask, well, if they're wise men, why do they need wisdom? That's not the point. His point is this, that God gives wisdom to humble men who are at least wise enough to know that they need it. Wise enough to know that their wisdom isn't sufficient. They need wisdom from above. And God is the kind of God who delights in giving wisdom and understanding to someone that will humble themselves and put themselves in that position, wise enough to listen to God. Verse 22, another reason why Daniel praises the Lord, because he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So Daniel is praising the Lord because he reveals the deep and secret things. You see, divine truth is such that we mere mortals could never, ever discover divine truth on our own. It has to be revealed to us or we're left in the darkness. We could never have imagined on our own by observation around us that the world came into being instantly, by the mere spoken word of God, that had to be revealed. Nobody ever would have come up with God's plan of salvation. It had to be revealed to us. There are deep and secret things, and the secret things belong unto the Lord. And so why is Daniel praising God here? Because God is of such a character, such a nature, that he delights in revealing secret things in his time and in his way. And boy, Daniel is really glad that God reveals secrets. Because if he didn't reveal this secret to him, Daniel and his friends would have been cut into little pieces. And notice also that God knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. In other words, God is omniscient. That's what God is like. That's why Daniel is praising God, because his God isn't like the idols that are dead. They're stone or gold or metal. They can't speak. They don't know anything. They can't move. They're helpless. They're lifeless. Daniel is praising God. His life was just saved, and he's praising God that his God knows everything. He's omniscient. And the darkness that conceals things from us is no problem to the Lord. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So notice the order here. Daniel was in dire straits, so he prayed. And then we read, and then God answered. And then Daniel praised the Lord for who He is. But there were two more reasons why Daniel praised the Lord. Look in verse 23. It says, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O God, O Thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel is now praising the Lord, not just in a generic sense. The first six reasons for praising the Lord had to do with who God was, what kind of a God He is, what His character and nature is like. So Daniel praised the Lord for who God is, and now he's praising the Lord because God gave Daniel wisdom and insight. God revealed to Daniel. And so he acknowledges that whatever wisdom Daniel had, that it came to him from the Lord, and he praises God because God revealed to him this secret. A secret which his life depended upon. He had a need. He prayed. God answered the prayer. He praised. And what's especially remarkable about this praise of Daniel is the fact that here he's already given God the praise. He's already thanked the Lord. He's already rejoicing in God, who He is, and the fact that He reveals secrets. But at this point, it's not entirely certain. Daniel didn't have any assurance that the king was still going to spare his life. The decree had already gone out that all the wise men should be executed. Daniel wasn't sure whether he was too late yet. But it didn't matter whether he lost his life or not. God answered prayer, and he was praising the Lord for that. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, can we pray and then praise the Lord for however He chooses to answer our prayer, even if the prayer doesn't work out the way we wanted it to? Or when we praise the Lord, is our praise dependent upon God answering the prayer in a way that we seem to believe is favorable? In other words, are our words of praise to the Lord dependent upon favorable circumstances? Or do we praise the Lord simply for who He is? Daniel knew how to pray, and he knew how to praise. Now look at how we behave before Arioch in verse 24. Daniel behaved himself well before the Lord. And here we want to see that Daniel behaved well before men also. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch. This is the executioner that came to carry him away to be executed and cut into little pieces. So Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Now here is this man, Daniel's executioner. He had been given a commission of the king, a decree from the king to kill Daniel. And what we read is that Daniel went to this man. Daniel went in unto Arioch. Now, I don't know about you, but if there was a man who was ready to take me away and cut me into little pieces, I don't think I'd go seeking him. He'd have to come running after me. So notice the boldness. Notice the courage of Daniel. Solomon said, the righteous are bold as a lion. And that's what we see in this man, Daniel. And it took quite a bit of courage for him to go to the man who was ordered to put him to death. And notice what Daniel said to Arioch. Destroy not the wise men. This man Arioch had a decree not just to kill Daniel, but to kill all the wise men in Babylon. And so what did Daniel do to all of these other men? Remember what they were like. They were soothsayers. They were magicians and sorcerers. These were all men whom Daniel vehemently opposed their beliefs and their practices and their lifestyles. But they were Daniel's colleagues. And they were human beings made in the image of God. And they, like Daniel, had this death sentence hanging over their heads. And perhaps some of them, likely some of them, had become Daniel's friends. And Daniel didn't want to see any of his colleagues killed and mutilated because of the king's irrational decree. So Daniel is seeking deliverance, not just for himself and his own three friends, but he's seeking deliverance for all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel had compassion on them all. You know, in the New Testament, we're told, as we have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially unto the household of God, but unto all men. You know, if you read the rest of the Old Testament, you might wonder why Daniel was seeking their welfare. For example, we read in the book of Joshua, Joshua didn't seek the welfare of the Canaanites. Joshua didn't seek the welfare of any of the ites. He was out to put them all to death, to execute them. And then you think of other godly men like Elijah. He had all the prophets of Baal killed. Now, here we have Daniel, and these men were false prophets. They were liars. They were sorcerers and magicians and astrologers. They weren't any different than the Canaanites or the prophets of Baal that Elijah had executed. What's the difference? Well, the difference is Daniel was not in the land. Daniel was not in the land of Israel. And Babylon was not the theocracy. And the law of Moses did not apply to the inhabitants of Babylon. It did in Israel to the children of Israel, but it did not apply in Babylon. And Daniel was well aware that the Mosaic rules didn't apply there. And by the way, wouldn't it be great if all Christians were aware of that as well? We live in a pagan land, and America is not a theocracy, and we shouldn't expect the citizens of this country to live by God's rules, and especially by the Mosaic Law. There are groups in Christendom today that are attempting to put the United States back under the Mosaic Law, including stoning adulterers, etc. Daniel was much wiser than that. He realized that it wasn't his job in a pagan land to try to turn it into a theocracy. And you know, like Daniel, we too are strangers in a strange land. Think about this. Daniel's colleagues, the other wise men, were suffering in part because of their foolish, superstitious beliefs. They claimed that they had access to the gods, and they claimed to have supernatural powers, but they didn't. And they couldn't tell the king the dream, and therefore they were about to be executed. And many of their beliefs were superstitious and bizarre. They were completely blinded satanically by a false religious system. And yet, Daniel didn't want to see any of those men suffer as a result of their pagan religion. He could easily have reasoned, it's my fault, or rather it's their fault, that I'm in trouble now. Daniel was about to be executed, and his friends were about to be executed because of the superstitious folly and lies of these false prophets and magicians and astrologers. Daniel easily could have said, I'll get myself out of this mess, but those troublemakers are on their own. But Daniel didn't think that way. Daniel had compassion on those men in spite of their foolish religious beliefs. And so Daniel didn't look at them as troublemakers whose actions caused the executioner to come to his door. Instead, Daniel saw those people as victims of satanic blindness. And Daniel sought to show compassion on them and to provide deliverance for them too. And you know, this is a good reminder for us today, especially in the religious and political climate of our day. We hear every day in the news of radical Muslims causing trouble for Americans all around the world and trying to blow us up anywhere they can. It would be very easy for us to get angry and start hating them. And it would also be easy for us to say, well, they're suffering and their countries are in such terrible shape because of their foolish and bizarre religion. Instead, we should see them as victims of satanic blindness and in need of compassion. Now, I'm not speaking as a political statement. Our government has its own level of area where they need to deal with issues, but as individual believers, as individual Christians, we ought to seek not their destruction, but their salvation. Daniel sought not the destruction of these sorcerers and magicians and false prophets. He sought to be the man used of God to help them, to deliver them. And Daniel went to the king to seek their deliverance. And we are to go to the King of Kings to seek the deliverance of those all around us who are victims of satanic blindness and false religious systems and who are suffering as a result, very often, of those religious beliefs. So we can introduce them to the Most High God. We shouldn't gloat over their sufferings. We should show compassion. Now notice in verse 25, now Daniel is going to bring what he knows to King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is fascinating as he stands before the king. Verse 25, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, this is Arioch speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. What a change. Now, Arioch makes it sound before the king like he was out diligently looking for somebody that would be able to interpret the king's dream, and Arioch found this man. That's not exactly what happened. Arioch was out to execute this man, and when Daniel heard of the decree, he went to Arioch. So obviously, Arioch is trying to put himself in good favor, and hopefully, if Daniel can tell him the dream, that Arioch might get a reward as well. And now in verse 26, the king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now King Nebuchadnezzar probably assumes that his 3-year Babylonian intensive training program had been successful in converting Daniel into a Babylonian. He didn't. And so he addresses Daniel by his Babylonian name, Belteshazzar. And the king wants to know, are you able? Are you able to make known unto me the dream and the interpretation? And so he put before Daniel the very same test. Daniel didn't get any special treatment. Daniel had to tell the king the dream and the interpretation. And if he couldn't tell him the dream, then the king wasn't going to believe him, and he and all the other wise men would be executed. Now notice how Daniel answers the king, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? Daniel is about to tell the king exactly what he dreamt that night, and he's even going to tell him what he was thinking before the dream, and he's going to give him the interpretation of the dream. But before he does any of that, he first wants to make it crystal clear to the king where this secret did not come from. And he says, none of the wise men or the astrologers or the magicians or the soothsayers, none of them were able to reveal this secret. Now, earlier in this chapter, the wise men said that only the gods know what people are dreaming, verse 11, which, by the way, was an admission that they really didn't have access to the gods. And so Daniel wants the king to know. He's about to introduce him to the Most High God. Daniel wants this king to know that what the king asked was way beyond the abilities of the false religious systems and the magicians and the soothsayers and the astrologers. It was way beyond their ability to come up with this. Their beliefs were false, superstitious, and completely ineffective. And Daniel wanted to convey that to the king. And Daniel said, cannot. Notice that word, cannot. He says, these men cannot give the king the dream. Now, it's not that they would not. If they knew the dream, they certainly would have given it to the king because their lives were hanging in the balance as well. So Daniel made it clear that it's not that they would not, but that they could not. They didn't have the ability. They didn't have access to supernatural powers. They didn't have access to any gods. Their gods were non-entities. The gods of Babylon were nothing. They couldn't communicate. They didn't know the future. And they wouldn't do King Nebuchadnezzar any good. They just cannot help. So Daniel is sort of paving the way now. And then in verse 28, it says, but in contrast to the religious leaders that you're accustomed to, in contrast to the superstitious sorcerers and astrologers and magicians, in contrast to all of that, King Nebuchadnezzar, but there is a God in heaven, and he does reveal secrets. I love the way he introduces this. He says, there's a God in heaven. Daniel introduces King Nebuchadnezzar to Jehovah God, the Most High God, the God of heaven. He's not the God of the valley. He's not the God of the mountain. He's the God of heaven. He's above all of that. And you know, this is kind of surprising. The king probably didn't expect these words from Daniel. He probably didn't expect him to say, but there's a God in heaven. After just saying, none of the magicians, none of the wise men, none of the sorcerers, none of the astrologers could give you this revelation, king. The king was probably expecting the next sentence to be, but I can, because I'm something special. But that wasn't Daniel. He said, there is a God in heaven. No mention of himself. No self-exaltation here. Daniel wasn't trying to get a reward from the king. Daniel was simply trying to make that contrast crystal clear to this Babylonian king. The contrast between the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and their whole pantheon of false deities on the one hand and the God of heaven on the other. And the God of heaven is unlike any God Nebuchadnezzar had ever heard of before. This God speaks. This God communicates. This God is alive. This God is real. This God is sovereign. The king had been looking to man for an answer. Daniel points them to God. And look in verse 29. Well, let's continue reading in verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the last days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Notice that not only is Daniel about to tell the king what his dream was and the interpretation, but here we discover that Daniel tells the king what he was thinking about before he fell asleep. that the king was wondering, the king was worried, the king was contemplating what's going to happen in the future, what shall come to pass hereafter. And so Daniel prefaces the dream and the interpretation with what was going on in King Nebuchadnezzar's mind and heart that night when he was so troubled and he was shaken to the core. The king was worried about the future. In fact, the dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar was the answer to that trouble. It was the answer to his anxieties and worries about what shall happen. And we're going to see next time, God gives to this king Nebuchadnezzar a broad picture of Gentile dominion from the Babylonian Empire, the Neo-Babylonian Empire in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. One of the most spectacular prophecies in all of the Bible. In verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known unto thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. So notice what Daniel does. He points out how everything the king Nebuchadnezzar had been trusting in was a sham. And then he points Nebuchadnezzar to the God of heaven. And then Daniel steps way in the background and he takes himself out of this entirely. He's about to reveal to the king his dream. And now King Nebuchadnezzar knows this man is onto something. He knew exactly what I was worried about before that dream. So when Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that he was worried about what shall happen hereafter, Nebuchadnezzar's ears must have just perked up. He understood that Daniel was honing in onto what was really on his heart that night. And so instead of puffing himself up and making himself out to be some great one, Daniel says in verse 30, as for me, I'm nothing special. I don't have any wisdom more than any other person. I have a great God. And it's the God of heaven that reveals secrets. I'm just the messenger boy. I don't have any special powers of my own. And so Daniel is very careful to make sure that the king does not attribute to Daniel any special powers. Daniel is a nothing and a nobody. But he's a servant of a great God. And in that line, Daniel follows in the footsteps of another godly man in the book of Genesis. Remember Joseph? When Pharaoh had a dream, and I'll just read this to you, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And how did Joseph respond? It says, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not me, it's the Lord. And that's the way of a godly man. We are just instruments, we are just vessels, we are just servants of a great God. And our value lies, our effectiveness lies, when we get self out of the way and we just point to the Lord. You want to be a great evangelist? You want to tell others about the Lord? Don't worry about how good I'm able to communicate or how well I've mastered the Bible or how many Bible verses I know. Just say, there's a God. And I don't know all the verses, but I can find them for you. Daniel was an effective communicator of who God is to Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to see that God continues to work in this man's heart. So next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the actual dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for Daniel, for his godly life and testimony. We thank you, Lord, for how he conducted himself in a godly manner and in wisdom before God and man. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to conduct ourselves in the same kind of godly fashion for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.